I believe one of the greatest challenges that we will ever face as individuals is making good choices. I think that's one of the greatest challenges that we have, actually, is making good choices and taking responsibility for the choices that we make. I think when we get that, actually, we live life in a different way. But how do I judge what's a good choice? How do I judge that? Because it's very subjective, isn't it? What I think is a good choice, you might not think is a good choice. So where's our benchmark? Where's our true north, if you like? And for me, it's got to be God's word. It's got to be God's word. That's got to be where I look and see, is my choice the right choice? Is that what I'm basing it on? Because God made us, and he knows how we can live best. And so actually when we understand how God wants us to live, then that's what enables us to make good choices. And for me, looking at the way Jesus lived, looking at the way Jesus lived on earth is a really fundamental way of me understanding what good choices are when I see how he's lived and how Jesus responded to things. But what do I mean by a spiritual law? So what I don't mean is like the Ten Commandments, you shall and you shall not. That's not that kind of law. It's the kind of law, that a principle that unlocks something. So let's look at some natural laws that are present in our world that God created so that the world functions the way it needs to function. A little bit of science now. Who in here loved science lessons when they were at school? Okay, not many of you. Right. This has got to be interesting then, hasn't it? So, the law of gravity. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the law of gravity. It affects us every moment of every day. We would not be sitting in this hall if it wasn't for the law of gravity. We would be floating around. Quite nice, wouldn't it? We would be floating around. So whether I understand the law of gravity or not doesn't mean to say that it doesn't impact my life, because it does. If I was to jump out of a 10-story building and didn't understand the law of gravity, I would still hit the floor rather quickly, and I probably wouldn't get up again, because it's a principle. It's happening, and I either accept it or I reject it, but it still affects my life. Aeroplanes can overcome the law of gravity and they fly. And I'm sure Luke and Emily are very grateful for that, because otherwise they wouldn't be here today. But the aeroplane didn't fall out of the sky, even though it's really heavy, because the law of aerodynamics, that has to do with thrust, with elevation, with drag, and with weight. You see, I told you this was going to be good this morning. All of those things combine together to enable an aeroplane to lift off, to take off. That's why the engines have to really rev to get you up initially. But anyway, we won't do any more science. We don't have to understand how it works, but we can get the benefit of flying, because that's what's happening. And it's the same with spiritual laws. They impact everybody's life. God's put them there for our benefit, but it's foolishness to ignore them, because if we ignore them, life's not going to work the way God intended it to work. It's important that we grasp that these spiritual laws are not an optional extra for our life. They should be woven into the fabric of our being so that we can live the way that God wants us to and live life in all its fullness, because that's what he wants for us. I don't know about you, but I want to understand what those laws are so that I'm doing and living in the best way that I can. In Galatians 6, verse 7 to 10, we read this. Make no mistake about it. God will never be mocked. For what you plant will always be the very thing that you harvest. The harvest you reap reveals the seed that was planted. If you plant the corrupt seed of self-life into this natural realm, you can expect to experience a harvest of corruption. If you plant the good seeds of spirit life, you will reap the beautiful fruits that grow from the everlasting life of the Spirit. And don't allow yourselves to be weary or disheartened in planting good seeds. For the season of reaping, the wonderful harvest you've planted is coming. Take advantage of every opportunity to be a blessing to others, especially to our brothers and sisters in the family of faith. And over the next few months, we're going to be looking at what those good seeds are, what God wants us to plant so that we will reap a beautiful life. But one of the things I know God wants us to do before we start is actually to ask the Holy Spirit to be our guide on this journey. Because there's going to be challenges for all of us, myself included in this. Because we're probably going to come up against some stuff that we've never completely embraced before. And it will mean us making decisions about, are we going to live God's way? Or are we going to live my way? We sang this morning, didn't we, that it's so much better your way. We sang that. It's so much better your way. But if it's so much better God's way, we therefore need to make choices in our life to align ourselves to the way he wants us to live. And in each of us, if we're honest, there is the potential for us to be stubborn, to be hard-hearted, and to be rebellious. There is. It's our human nature. There is that potential in all of us to live in that way. And if we're not careful, we get to the point of thinking, but I don't need to do that. I don't need to live my life God's way because I'm all right. Thank you very much. I'm good enough. This isn't about being good enough. This is about living in the fullness of all that God has for us. God's laws can either be seen as rules that we have to engage with. We have to do this, or we don't do that. Or we can see it as a gateway into living an amazing, blessed life. It can either be something we see that will constrict us and restrain us and take away our freedom, or it's something that we can see actually is going to open a gate wide that we have more freedom than we ever thought possible. I'm going to pray. And then there's just 3 points that I want to share with you. Father God, I want to thank you so much that you didn't just put us on this planet and just kind of let us get on with it and trying to make the best of it on our own. You've given us tools to enable us to live life well. You've given us your word. You sent Jesus to be the example for us. You sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, to be our helper. And Father, I want to pray as we start out on this journey that you would show us where there is stubbornness, where we are hard-hearted or rebellious, where we are deliberately turning against the way you want us to live. And I pray, Father, that you would open our eyes. Open our eyes to see the truth and to hear you say, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. And I want to pray, God, for each one of us here and for those who aren't here today who are going to be listening to this, God, that you would bring revelation to us for your glory, Father. Amen. Amen. So first of 3 points, God wants us to delight in his spiritual laws. In Psalm 1, it says this, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. See, David understood that God's laws, his principles, was a pathway to joy, was a pathway to life. They weren't just something that needed to be obeyed to prevent punishment. But like I've said, they were something that opened a gateway to a higher way of living, to a better way of living. Let me give an example of that. Later on in the new year, we're going to be looking at the law of forgiveness, a spiritual law, the law of forgiveness. And if we choose to live a life of forgiveness and not taking offence, it brings us into a greater intimacy with our Heavenly Father. Because we have then a greater understanding of how he's forgiven us. At the end of Luke chapter 7, there's a story about the prostitute who comes in. Jesus is sitting with the Pharisees, having a meal with them. And she comes in and she does something outrageous. She washes his feet with her tears. And she wipes them with her hair and she pours this really costly oil all over them. And that the religious leaders were utterly offended by what she did. Utterly offended because, you know, this woman was a prostitute. She should have been stoned. Jesus should have had nothing to do with her. And Jesus said this to them. She's been forgiven much, and so she loves much. And the Pharisees had missed that point. They'd missed the point that, yes, she had been living that way, but God was doing something in her life. And she was forgiven. And when we step into forgiving people, we understand more the forgiveness of God and we step into it more fully ourselves. So it unlocks something in our lives as we forgive other people. And we know when we don't forgive other people, it actually puts a barrier between us and God. You know, there's been lots of scientific work that's shown that people who forgive are healthier and happier. Scientifically, it's proven. People who forgive, who don't hold on to offence, are happier and healthier. So when God advises us to do something, it really is for our own good. So God wants us to delight in his spiritual laws and not see them as a burden. And he wants us to understand the keys to live well. He wants us to know. He doesn't want us to be fumbling around in the darkness. He wants us to be intelligent about this. In Proverbs 3, verses 1 to 4, it says this, "My son, my daughter, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments." Interesting, isn't it? Let your heart keep my commandments. Not your head, but your heart. We can do things because we feel we've got to do them. But when it's in our heart, we want to do them. "My son, do not forget my teachings, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and of years and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them round your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so that you will find favour and good success in the sight of God and man." We can't pick and choose the spiritual laws that we kind of like the look of, the ones that we're going to find easy and then discard the rest. It doesn't work like that. It's the whole thing. God wants us to delight in all of his law. He wants them to be sown into the fabric of our being. And he wants us to understand, as I said, why we're doing them. Now, just think in the natural. It's illegal in this country to drive with more than 80 milligrams of alcohol per 100 millilitres of blood. It's illegal. You'll get fined if you're caught with more alcohol than that in your blood. But why is that? Why is that? Well, the science side of it has shown that when you get to that level and above, your reactions are slowed. You can't assess risk in the same way. You will not judge distance and speed as well. And you're more likely to hurt yourself and to hurt other people. That's why that law exists, to protect us. But people still do it, don't they? They still drink and drive because, oh, I'm all right. That truth, that law, actually I'm immune from that because I can drink with 160 millilitres or milligrams of of alcohol per 100 milliliters of blood, and I'm fine. But they're not fine. But they think that they're above the law. And how often do we think that we're above what God has put in his word is good for us? How often do we choose to drink drive, if you like? Because we're all right. We can do this. We can dabble in stuff that's not right for us. Because actually we're still in control. But we're not. God isn't trying to spoil our fun. He's trying to open a door for us into a greater way of living. One of the keys of understanding God's principles for living is to have spiritual understanding. And as we start to unpack some of these laws, in the natural, they don't make sense. Next week, we're not going to be around because we're going to be going up to York. But Karen's going to be talking about the whole area of tithing and giving. And in the natural, that shouldn't work. It shouldn't work. How does me giving 10% of all our income to God mean that I will have enough? It doesn't work, does it? It doesn't work on paper. But it's a spiritual principle that releases stuff. So you won't understand it with your natural mind, but with your spiritual mind, you'll get it. How does it work about giving God one day a week where we rest and refresh ourselves and we still have enough time to do everything that we've got to do? How does that work? It doesn't work in the natural. That's why we need to discern these things in our spirits and not in our flesh. That's why we need to be transformed in the renewing of our mind. That's why I said at the beginning, there's going to be challenges for us in this, because it's going to knock our minds. It's going to be a renewing of our minds as we line up to God's truth. And some of us are maybe a bit further along the journey with some of these things than others, but we have all got stuff to learn. All of us have got stuff to learn. Proverbs 22 verse 4 says this, laying your life down in tender surrender before the Lord will bring life, prosperity and honor as your reward. Understanding that spiritual laws that God has put in place are for our benefit and blessing is utterly releasing. So, God wants us to delight in his spiritual laws. He wants us to understand the keys of living life well. And he wants us to sow consistently good seed. Galatians 6:7, I read at the beginning, says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. It's deception to believe that our lives are predestined and that our choices make absolutely no difference. That God's already got it mapped out for us and we have got no impact on our life. That doesn't add up. That doesn't make sense. We can't embrace a belief system that takes away any personal responsibility from us about how we live our life. It doesn't, you know, God says choose life. Choose life. We have a choice. We say yes or no to him. We choose to live the way he wants us to or not. We have choice. So our life isn't predestined. Yes, God may know things are going to happen because he's outside of time, but we have decisions to make in that. It's not like we're robots just following, oh, well, God knew I was going to make that decision. No, you have choice. You have choice, and we need to embrace it. But that should stir us actually to excitement about the tremendous potential of our lives when we live them according to the way God wants them to. But also a holy fear before God, a right fear before God of wanting to live life his way and not our way. We need to sow the right seeds and allow them to germinate and grow. In the natural, that's what happened, and it's the same in the spiritual. Galatians 6:9 says this, and don't allow yourselves to be weary or disheartened in planting good seeds. For the season of reaping the wonderful harvest you've planted is coming. The devil wants us to think that the choices that we make will not make any difference at all. And he, you know, when we're facing difficult circumstances and we're doing what we think are the right things and it just doesn't seem to be making any difference, the enemy wants us to believe that we're not, you know, the way we live our lives, actually rough stuff, tough stuff's going to happen anyway and God's not going to do anything. That's what he wants us to believe. He wants us to believe that God's ways don't work and that we should quit. Have you ever had, maybe you haven't, but I have had times where you look around and you see people who don't believe in God, who don't honour him, who don't live their lives the way that he wants them to, and everything actually seems to be going quite nicely for them. All right, so it's not just me. And the enemy whispers, so why are you doing all of this? Doesn't make any difference. Doesn't make any difference. Can I just say, that is a lie from the pit of hell. Psalm 37 is a great place to go to when you're having those moments. It says this. Don't follow after the wicked ones or be jealous of their wealth. Don't think for a moment they're better off than you. They and their short-lived success will soon shrivel up and quickly fade away like grass clippings in the hot sun. Keep trusting in the Lord and do what is right in his eyes. Fix your heart on the promises of God and you will be secure, feasting on his faithfulness. Make God the utmost delight and pleasure of your life and he will provide for you what you desire the most. Give God the right to direct your life. And as you trust him along the way, you'll find he pulled it off perfectly. He will appear as your righteousness. As sure as the dawning of a new day, he will manifest as your justice. As sure and strong as the noonday sun. Quiet your heart in his presence and pray. Keep hope alive as you long for God to come through for you. And don't think for a moment that the wicked in their prosperity are better off than you. There is always seed, time, and harvest. And what we do in the time before the harvest is critical. If I sow poppy seeds, I'm not going to get an apple tree. I'm not a horticulturalist, but I do know that. The seeds you sow determine what you get. That's why God wants us to sow good seeds. Now, if I sow a poppy seed and the next day I get up and there isn't a poppy and I dig it up, that's foolishness because it's not going to grow like that. It takes time to germinate and grow. And it's the same with spiritual laws. It takes time in our life as we realign ourselves to God for these things to start to flow. Things will not grow overnight. And God wants us, as he said, to sow good seeds. We can't sow a mixture of seeds and weeds. What do I mean by that? This is what God said that I want to share. And this is speaking as much to me as to anybody else. Be really intentional about how you live. If there is a persistent violation of spiritual laws, the protection, blessing over a person, family line, region or nation will begin to lift. Will begin to lift. That's not God withholding his love. It's the consequences of rebelling against the way God wants us to live. You look at our nation at this time. Other nations around the world that are deliberately stepping outside of the way God wants them to live. But here's the exciting thing. Imagine this. Imagine what it would look like for a group of people to determine that they will sow well in the spiritual realm, that they will align their lives to the principles of heaven. You see, when we realize the impact that our lives can have, not only just on us, but on our families, on our spheres of influence, on our region and on our nation. Others will be blessed because of the decisions that we're making of how to live. That is how revival begins. It's how revival begins, when you get a group of people who are like, we're following God wholeheartedly, we're seeking his way, we're following his laws. He can't help but bless us. That's what scripture says. He can't help but bless us. He commands blessing when we follow his ways. So we're on a journey together. It's kind of Christmas and New Year in the middle. This is totally what God wants us to be doing for this season. And I'm not going to stand here and say it's not going to be challenging, but I absolutely know God's got some really good things for us in this. Who's up for that? Yeah, okay. Should we stand? And I'm going to pray, and then we can have a coffee or a tea. Father, we thank you that life is so much better than when we live it your way. I want to thank you, Father, that you want us to live higher. And I pray. There's a cheer from the back. I love that. Thank you, God, that you are cheering us on in this. And we're going to cheer each other on in this. And we are going to be a people who say yes to your ways. And we live in the expectation of what you're going to do in our midst. As blessing breaks out, as we align ourselves to you increasingly. And I want to pray that you would just bless this church family in this coming week, Lord God, to see you in a new way. Have fresh eyes to see what you're doing in their life. And fresh ears to hear what you're saying for your glory. Amen. Amen. Amen.